Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Saturdays podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Father, we thank you for what you're speaking out among us. We pray for supernatural boldness for your people to share what you show them. We come against the fear of man in Jesus' name. We pray that as times like this open up for us to prophesy and share what you show us, we would be bold and encourage each other. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everyone. So glad to see all of you this morning on Mother's Day. It is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day, all the moms. I've got some Mother's Day jokes that we'll do later. I've got some other Mother's Day things to talk about, but I did want to just hit the announcements. If you haven't attended yet, online Bible study Tuesdays at 8 o'clock via Zoom. The Zoom ID, 869-3414-4657. I said that for the people listening to the podcast. If you're in the room and you need that, it's on the paper over yonder. We can get you one of them. The Gap Ministry is collecting toiletries, personal health care products for women and children, diapers and wipes, as well as some other items. There's a sign-up sheet there if you want to sign up. And we talked about this last time. It's for Morningstar Maternity Home. And a lot of us, we want to do something about the situation that we see in our nation. And this is really your opportunity. If you buy the set of pots and pans, has anyone bought the set of pots and pans? If you buy the set of pots and pans, that's going to bless countless mothers who are making a hard decision to keep their child in spite of what other people are trying to force them to do. So the Morningstar Maternity Homes are awesome, and we'll hear more about that moving forward. Mark your calendars, June 11th and 12th. There's going to be a 24-hour worship event here. We've got some different people coming in from some of the different local churches. We have some people that are saying they're coming from Maryland, so we'll see how that goes. I am hopeful, but I'd like to hear that as it gets closer that that's happening. And so just, you know, be here when you can. Some of you guys are all-nighters and you'll hang out all night. Some of you guys are like, no, I'll be in bed, but I'll see you during the day. I'm the awaken the dawn guy. I really like to be here early in the morning. And in fact, I will go to work after. So again, that's June 11th and 12th. Hey, if you brought something to give, I don't know where that hey came from. I was going to go to another thought, but I almost forgot. Go ahead and hold it in your hand. We want to pray for you. We want to pray about the seed that comes into this place. And then whenever it's convenient for you, just drop it off in the basket in the back. So, Father, we thank you for the ability to give into what you're doing here in this community. Lord, we pray that you would release provision for us to launch out into this community and see it changed for your glory, to see sons and daughters come to know their heavenly Father. And Lord, we just pray that you would begin to prepare the people to encounter you, Lord, even from the people that have no idea who you are, that are living lifestyles that are far from you. Lord, we just pray for divine appointments, for divine strategy. Lord, we pray that you would draw them to this place and that you would draw us out to them, that we would bump into them. And Lord, we pray for the people that sow into this place, Lord, that you would give them what they need in their life. Lord, that as they sow, they would see you faithful, that there would be no lack in their finances, but there would be the opposite, that you would move so that they could give even more into what you're doing in the earth. And we thank you, Lord, for provision for this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was driving through Springmount this morning, and there was one of those there signs that tells you when you're speeding. I mean, I never noticed it before because I'm never speeding. But that's a joke. All right, thanks. And that sign somehow changed today to say it is Mother's Day. So some township worker thought he would help out the rest of the men and sons as they drove around today, that they would know that it was Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day. And as I thought about Mother's Day, I'm not usually a holiday sermon guy. I don't know if you guys remember, but on Easter I talked about Christmas. And on Christmas, we just exchanged gifts and hugged each other, and it was fun. And so I'm not really a holiday guy, but as I thought about Mother's Day, I thought, especially this Mother's Day, we should talk about this. You know, we should always honor our moms, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. But it's interesting that right now we live in a culture that's trying to do away with the word mother and the word father, and they want us just to say parents. And they're pretending that fathers and mothers are the same, so that we should just refer to them as parents. And, you know, the Word of God makes a clear distinction between fathers and mothers. Exodus 20:12, you guys know this verse. It's honor your father and mother. Father and mother. It doesn't say honor your parents. It says honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Also want to highlight, it doesn't just say honor your father. Sorry, throwing that out there. Today we're going to be in Ephesians 5 and Matthew chapter 15. You know, God designed a family to be a father and a mother. I have this quote. I read this to you. This was from something I stole from Congress. One of the representatives was giving it as they were voting on different laws. And he said, men and women equally share in bearing the image of God. He has designed them to be distinct from and complementary towards one another. Neither is better, neither has greater value. Both are made in the image of God. God designed both. Both bear the image of God. Both reflect parts of God's nature. He designed families with a father and a mother. Communities like this church need a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. We need spiritual fathers, plural, and mothers, plural. We, the generation on the earth right now, they say is the fatherless, motherless generation. You know, they say that this generation is the most fatherless generation. And when you take into account the Civil War and World War II, where fathers were actually killed, they're saying this is the most fatherless generation. So I want to encourage you guys, you know, those of you that are a little bolder, bolder's the word we use for a different word, a little bit of gray hair, that are a little bit bolder, there's a generation of younger people. And when I say younger, you might as well go with my age and down. People younger than you, and those of us that are still blessed to have fathers and mothers right now, we know we still talk to our fathers and mothers about things. We still seek out their wisdom. But those of you that are a little bolder, that have been on the earth a little longer, that have a little bit of wisdom, I think as we grow and as we change and as we launch out into the community, don't be afraid to have that fathering role and that mothering role. It's not weird, it's godly. And we're going to look at some scripture, you know, and I'm jumping into Ephesians chapter 5. It's also been a hot topic on the earth. I've seen people use it to say that God's oppressive and that God doesn't value women and that God does these things. So I want to read this. I'm going to start in verse 22. If you are reading this in New King James, you have a chapter heading like I have, and it says marriage, and then you got this dash, and then it says Christ and the church. So it basically is saying that this portion of scripture is actually two separate subjects, marriage and Christ in the church. And one of the things that's super fun, you guys all know Blaine's getting married in a couple of weeks. And I'm going to be doing that wedding, which is new for me. And I'm putting it together, and I've been talking to them about what they want to do and how they want it to look. And, you know, you're going this planning process, and they're all at Twitter, and you guys have all seen those excellent pictures on social media that are amazing that Blaine posts of him and his family. And as I'm looking at this, I'm going down these, like, side trails of why the wedding ceremony is the way that it is. I'll give you a good example. Do you know why the groom is in the room and the bride comes into the room.
Wow.
That happens every wedding, right?
Yeah.
The groom is there and the bride comes, right? So this is the reason, because God is the covenant initiator. So the parallel for us is God initiated the covenant of salvation with us. So as we're doing the wedding ceremony, now I'm not going to stop in Blaine's wedding and teach this, don't worry. But it's a reflection of God's covenant with us, where we come to God. He's in the room. He's established what's going to happen. And so really marriage, the whole design of marriage, the whole design of family is actually so we can understand God. I mean, yes, it was created for our benefit. Many of us enjoy it. Many of us love being a husband or a wife. It's not an endor. Sorry. All right. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. And this is a verse, you see this kind of twisted. No, I'm not going to share that story yet. So verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so that let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Hang with me, don't write me off yet. I'm actually just reading the scripture. Verse 25, then it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own body, for he who loves his wife loves himself. I'm going to keep reading in a second, but I do want to highlight some things. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. Something that we need to take moving forward, Jesus loves the church. All churches, all people trying to come together to honor him and glorify him. They may not have the same interpretation of the scripture. They may have a belief system that maybe needs some correction. But if at the core they have Jesus came and died so that I could know God, they're on the right track, and Jesus loves them. We all know that we run around life making mistakes, and we all know, those of you that are a little bolder and have been on the earth a little longer, you can think about 25-year-old you and go, oh man, he was missing it there and there and there, and got a little hot-headed and wasted all that money on that thing, you know? And so as mature people, we should look at this and say, you know, whatever church, you know, Jesus loves that church, that body of believers. Some of us that would lean into a more prophetic vein, there's this thing that I want to caution you against where you feel superior because you have had this experience with God. But the problem is, not the problem, but the thing you need to note about that is that you didn't initiate that experience, God did.
Amen.
You did nothing to become superior. And every other person is just one connection with God away from understanding what you might understand. One of the things that Kathy and I always say, and we've caught flack from a lot of church leaders about this, is you can learn something from every stream.
Amen.
I've sat in a Catholic church and I've learned.
Amen.
I'm not running to the Catholic church with all my questions, but there's things to learn. People have given their life to try to connect people with God. All right. So Jesus loves his church. I'll just start in verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. So as the church, you guys know, we are all members of one body. So if we operate in another church, operate towards another church, another body of believers, with the wrong motivation, the opposite of love, we should operate in love. If we operate with the opposite of love, then we're hating our own bodies. All right. For we are all members of his holy body and flesh of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So, there's been some misapplication of this scripture. There's been some manipulation using this scripture. But I had some clarity about it the other day. I was watching a kung fu movie with my youngest. And in this movie, a man who was like a kung fu master and a woman who did not know kung fu, just for the record. It's important, not really. Had been assigned to work together on a project. It was more kind of a treasure hunt. They were kind of spies, but they were hunting treasure. Again, watched it with my 10-year-old. Not recommending it for you guys. And the man and the woman were assigned to work on this treasure hunting type project. And the woman says, "Hey, I know that we are partners, but should we have a disagreement which one of us is in charge?" You know, they're foreshadowing for the movie because there will be a disagreement, you know. And the dude and his, I don't know, the guy in charge, it was overdone from Chinese, so I can't tell you why he was in charge. And so he says, "Well, you are," to the woman. He puts the woman in charge, and then he says, "By the way, that means that you are now responsible if anything goes wrong." And this is the way that I've always viewed this. All right, you partnered two people, God partnered two people together on the earth, one man and one woman, to be the model of him for children and to raise godly children and to, you know, fill the earth with people and subdue it. He partners them together and he says, "By the way, you're in charge. Because you're in charge, you should listen to him should there be a disagreement. But by the way, since you're in charge, you're now responsible for making sure you carry this thing through." So you guys see what I'm saying? So as a church, listen, I know there's other verses we can get into another week. It's too much to do today. But as a church, when we talk about mothers and fathers in the church, we need both to step up, to launch out in the things that God called them to be and do, to let what God created in them to come forth. And we don't need to worry about if it's a man or a woman walking in that gifting. For some people, that's a challenge. You can email bob@dwellatthewell.com and talk to Bob about it. No, I'm just kidding. So here's the reality. God puts somebody in charge to take the responsibility if something goes wrong. But if that person is ruling, and ruling's a bad word, running their family the right way, they're actually saying, "Wow, that kid has this gift. My wife has this gift. I'm going to let all of them go. And then should we come under attack, I'm going to take charge." All right. Jokes will help at this point. No, let's say something serious. So the family model that God designed is really to teach us about him. Husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, and children teach us all about how to relate to God. I love that God wants to be called our Father. One of the most intimate, if it's working in the correct way, intimate family relationships that we have, our Father. He's supposed to provide for us, protect us, help us, guide us, play baseball with us. All these things provide a shelter for us. And God's like, "I want you to call me that." My kids, moving into jokes, thanks for the amen. My kids say a lot of things to my wife. They say, "I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm bored, I have an itch." That's a big one. I don't know why it's such a big deal. "Mom, this itches, I gotta itch it, I have an itch. I'm tired, I'm cold, I'm hot, can I have a, I can't find mine." This is what they say to my wife. You know what they say to me? "Where's Mom?" There's three words that solve every dad's every problem. Three words that can solve any problem a dad has, and it's "go ask your mother." Four words. All right. Two women are sitting in a park, and they begin to talk, and one says, "I have a perfect son," and the other one says, "Does he smoke?" She says, "No, he doesn't." "Does he drink?" "No, he doesn't." Instead of doing voices, I'm doing this. First woman says, "Does he stay out late and come home late?" And she says, "No, he doesn't." And then she's like, "Well, how old is he?" And she says, 6 months old. All right. But seriously, folks, we put our moms through a lot, and there's one day a year we set aside to honor them. A couple of weeks ago, I love your compassion, and I love that you want to help me, but my aunt died a year ago, and we finally had the memorial service because we were allowed to get together. So a couple of weeks ago, I went to the memorial service for one of my aunts. And I want to just put this out there. She didn't have any natural children, but as a kid, I had an extra mother. I found out that when I was a baby, she used to pinch me so I would cry so she could comfort me. Not sure how I feel about that. I found that out at her memorial service. But I have fond memories of her. She was at every birthday party I had as a kid, and she was one of those people that I would love to be like her in this way. She gave the best gift, the gift that you didn't know you needed or wanted, and when you got it, you were like, whoa, this is incredible. And that's like we would go to these family get-togethers, and I would just be looking for what gift did she get me, because it was always something amazing. Each one was creative, based on what she knew about someone, and it ended up being something they loved but didn't know they wanted. And as I was thinking about moms, I was thinking about this. This is Proverbs 13:22, and it says, "A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children." Now, the verse is about money and possessions, but it's about so much more. I looked up the word inherit in Strong's. I'm not going to give you the Greek because I didn't write it down, but here's the definition. So a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. The word inheritance in that verse, to inherit, to occupy, to bequeath, generally distribute, instate, divide, have an inheritance, take as a heritage, cause to give, to make to inherit, distribute for, divide, give for, have, leave for, take for inheritance, have in, cause to be made to possess. And I just want to point out that not just in a physical inheritance, but take as a heritage and be made to possess. Now, I want to tell you, when somebody dies, they go to heaven to be with Jesus, hopefully, and they've left you something, there's not a discussion. You can't have an argument with them about the thing they left you. They're gone. They have forced whatever this is upon you. And then I wanted to talk to you about the take a heritage aspect. You know, in a family, particularly through my mother's family, I've inherited possessions, but I've also inherited something more. Something more that I would gladly give the government 40% of. The something more, not the physical. I've inherited a love for Jesus, a love for life, and a love for other people. They modeled Christian values. I saw them love God, enjoy life, and value and love others. If you guys want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. In this passage, Paul is writing to Timothy. He's in prison. Paul is coming to the end of his life. He has installed Timothy as the leader in the church. I'm just going to start at the beginning. 2 Timothy 1, verse 1. This is the New King James. It says, "Greeting, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy." Verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." There's something more in Timothy's family happening than just caretaking. I think often we reduce motherhood down to caretaking and training a child how to care for themselves. My nan, which is my mother's mother, she used to play cards with us. She used to let us win a few dollars off her. Yeah, I said play cards. She used to let us win a few dollars off of her. And then we would walk miles to the dollar store and spend it on things like Pogs. A few people know what I'm talking about. If you Google them, guys, you'll laugh hard at us.
I know.
Okay. pro-grandparent tip right there. That walking to the dollar store was so we'd be tired when she gave us back to our mother. So give them back tired. There's a shortcut to that. It's called a sugar crash. But you have to time that right. You don't want to give them back when they're on the sugar. Okay. On one of these trips, walking from the dollar store, it wasn't a Dollar Tree, it was a dollar store. We used to get switch combs there too, which were awesome. All right. I dropped a bit of packaging. My nan firmly but lovingly said these three words. We don't litter. Picked it up, put it in my pocket. Those words changed me. Yesterday, walking through the woods with my son, he's eating sugar anyway, and just drops the box. And I, out of my mouth, what do you think came? We don't litter. We don't litter. Those words changed me. To this day, if something blows away in the wind, I go and get it. If I'm on hour 12 of an 8-hour shift and a rubber band shoots into the weeds, I go find it. I know my nan would understand, but we don't litter. I search for things because we don't litter. I know that's a silly example of what we're talking about, but some of us need to get with Jesus and reinvent the we's for our family. The things we do and the things we don't do. You know, hopefully you have some we's in place, like we don't say that, we don't smoke pot even if it's legal, we don't get drunk, we don't watch that. And hopefully you have some positive ones in place. We love others, we help others, we are part of a community of other believers called a church, so we go there. While we're there, we help, and sometimes we sow there. That's what we do. We give to the poor because we trust the Lord. We connect with God through his word, and we worship him, and we help others connect with God. This is what we do. And you are part of we till you go and start your own family. And I hope some of your family's we's are some of our we's. One of the things that I learned with my son, if I make an exception to the we, he finds a loophole. My youngest, it's so fun. One morning he found me up early studying the word of God. And he had all these questions and we were talking. And one morning he found me up early just speaking in tongues. I was reading this little book about speaking in tongues and it challenged you to just do it for 5 minutes a morning. So I'm doing it. I feel this little hand on my arm, and he's like, what are you doing? So I told him, and he's like, well, I want to do that. So I'm like, okay. And like a five-year-old's doing this because he saw it. I didn't go teach him about it. He saw it. When he was younger, I literally stopped the car. He asked if a guy was homeless. I stopped the car, just handed him a $10 bill, told him to roll down his window, hold it out, give it to the guy. Well, that's what we do now. You know, the one time we saw the same homeless man, and he was like, hey, Dad. And I was like, I don't have any cash. And I realized if I didn't do something, then we didn't do that. All right. Good. These are some examples. So in Timothy's family, there was a we. And the we that we see in Scripture, we have genuine faith. Verse 5 again. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is also in you. Something spiritual was being modeled and taught first from Lois to Eunice and then from Eunice to her son Timothy. And because he possessed this, he was able and prepared to lead the early church. I'm switching to the Passion Translation. I'm going to keep reading still 1 Timothy chapter 1. I am filled with joy, verse 5, as I think of your strong faith that was passed down through your family line. It began with your grandmother Lois, who passed it on to your dear mother Eunice, and it's clear that you too are following in the footsteps of their godly example. Now, I don't know how this was passed down. I don't know if they sat down and they told him, hey, we have genuine faith. But I would more assert that it was by seeing and by an example. And I want to encourage you guys in this house, this is how iron sharpens iron. We like to think that we had this confrontational meeting and you told me what was wrong with me and now I'm going to change. But the reality is we all run together. We have common goals. And as I look at you and you and you, I see what the Lord's doing in you, and I want the Lord to do that in me, and I start to behave the same way. You know, this house has a generous spirit. A lot of you guys, it's rubbing off on. Most of y'all, it's rubbing off on, and some of y'all are coming along. It's a challenge. But you're going to see that wasn't something we never taught on it. We never said, hey, give. We never said, do this. We never did that. We modeled. This place, I'm so excited. Just the amount of places we've been helping and the things that we've been able to do when we came out of a season of such lack. And I got to tell you, everywhere I look, there's abundance in this season. You know, and that abundance we're sharing with others. All right. So, verse 6, I want to keep reading. I'm still in the Passion Translation. I'm writing to encourage you to fan into flame, rekindle the fire of the spiritual gift God imparted to you when I laid hands upon you. I just want to encourage you guys, get together with God. See what needs fanned into flame. Rekindle that fire in you of what's in you in this season. You know, we came out of a season where everything felt more confined. Now we're in a season where it's like, whoa, that thing can burn. It doesn't just sit and smolder. You know, verse 7, for God will never give you a spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. That's really a great verse for today. I would venture a guess that during the worship time today, most every one of us encounter the Lord in some way, and he spoke something to us. For a lot of you guys, you were bold enough to speak it out. But I feel like there's a few of us that kind of were like, yeah, I'll just kind of keep that ember for myself. But God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. Verse 8, so never be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor be embarrassed over my imprisonment, but overcome every evil by the revelation of the power of God. He gave us resurrection life, and he drew us to himself by his holy calling on our lives. And it wasn't because of any good we have done, but by his divine pleasure and marvelous grace that confirmed our union with the anointed Jesus even before time began. This truth is now being unveiled by the revelation of the anointed Jesus, our life giver, who dismantled death, obliterating all its effects in our lives. For he has manifested his immortal life in us by the gospel. We spent the last, 6 months talking about life and life more abundant. And I think that verse sums it up. This truth is now being unveiled by the revelation of the anointed Jesus, our life giver, who has dismantled death, obliterating all its effects in our lives, and who has manifested his immortal life in us by the gospel. I'm just going to keep reading and then we'll close out. Verse 11, for he has anointed me as his preacher, his apostle, and his teacher of truth to the nations. The confidence of my calling enables me to overcome every difficulty without shame. For I have intimate revelation of this God, and my faith in him convinces me that he is more than able to keep all that I have placed in his hands safe and secure until the fullness of his appearing. And I feel like for a lot of us here, you know, as we're launching out into the new season, verse 12 really applies. It should be a verse that we apply to our own life. The confidence of my calling, the things the Lord would have me do on the earth, that he's enabling me for. He enables you to overcome every difficulty without shame, for you have intimate revelation of this God. Verse 13, and allow healing words that you've heard from me to live in you and make them a model for your life. As your faith and love for the Anointed One grows even more, guard this incomparable treasure by the Spirit of holiness living in you. So I want to leave you with three things to consider this week. Some of you guys are going to do this on your own. Some of you need to get together with your spouse. And I want you to just take a piece of paper and make a list and write down the we's that you want to pass on to your next generation, to your kids. What things do, like, my nan's been in heaven with Jesus for 20 years, but we don't litter. What things do you want to pass on to that next generation? Make that list of we's. You know, one thing that's really been important with our sons is we don't look at that. We find something else to look at. And I see that with him. Like, commercial come on, he's like, oh, hey, look, that's a nice lamp that we own over in the corner. This is good. You know, and it's just automatic for him. We don't look at that. All right. One thing, man, I know I'm wrapping up, but I want to throw this out there. So, the last R movie Kathy and I watched was Braveheart. We got suckered in by some people that we knew. It was hot then. It was awesome. Everybody was like, you got to see this movie. This is the last R movie that we saw based on a true story, right? Oh, yeah, that makes it okay. If it's something that really happened, that makes it awesome. Both of us left that movie. Now, again, we're like 19 and 20, feeling like, oh, about everything. And we realized it's okay for us to know something horrible happened, to read it in a history book, to understand from it. But when we watch Hollywood recreate it, now we have these images of horrible things in our mind. So we just made a decision from that day that we won't watch a movie rated R. And so my son, you know, he can't wait till he's old enough so he can, but he knows we don't. Like, he won't even ask. All right. So the first thing to focus on, get together with your spouse, sit down by yourself. A lot of you guys that maybe don't have your own biological children, you're still leaving an impact on this house. You're still leaving an impact on other people that know you. So just keep in mind, what do I want the we's that I leave to be? All right, number two, where do I need to fan the flame of God's gift put in me? You know, different seasons for me. Like, God made me to be a songwriter. I know this. It's more prevalent in some seasons and not in others, but I need to sit down and work on that every so often to fan that back into flame. And that might be listening to somebody else's new song, but it inspires me. All right, the third thing, and this is important for you by yourself, get with God and say, whose words am I modeling my life after? Some of you guys might have some we's that you don't need. You know, that's okay. You know, a lot of times you don't see a hard standard on some of those we's, so you think that little bit of slippage is okay. The other thing I would like to assert is if you're are you modeling your life after the words found in the Bible, or are you modeling your life after the words found in the media? I mean, I work with a ton of people that are just modeling their life by whatever comes across that news channel. And I'm like, you're being programmed. Don't be programmed. All right, I'm going to read this verse as we close. Then I'm going to pray for you guys. And, you know, we're just so grateful for the moms of this house. And we want to release you to be, to mother us and to mother the people that come. You know, feel free to step out in those giftings and callings, because everybody knows fathers make lousy mothers. All right, so I'm going to read this verse over you. This is verse 13. Allow the healing words you've heard from me to live in you and make a model for life as your faith and love for the Anointed One grows even more. So So, Father, we thank you for the people that call this place their church home. Lord, we pray that your healing words would move in our lives, would move in our bodies. Lord, that they would create a model for us of how to live, and that we would leave the legacy of the correct we's for those that go after us. And we pray that our love for you grows even more. And Lord, we just pray a blessing on mothers today. Lord, that you would give them wisdom to be exactly who you created them to be on the earth. Lord, that they would have the freedom to do that in their households and outside of their households. We release them to walk in their giftings. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everybody, have a good week.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Souderton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well right here. I'm digging a well in the valley of my weeds.